Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Employers, simplify your pension scheme with a Zurich Master Trust. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie.
Because a 72-hour ceasefire in Sudan, agreed by rival military factions, it appears to be holding for the moment, although there have been reports of new gunfire and shelling. At least 459 people have been killed in the short time since fighting broke out on the 15th of April. The Taoiseach Micheál Martin has said that the that 72 Irish citizens and their family members have now been evacuated from Sudan to both Djibouti and Jordan, but over 100 Irish citizens still remain in Sudan. I'm joined on the line now by Bel True, who's a foreign correspondent for The Independent, who's been covering the Sudanese conflict intensively and also the evacuations. Bel, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you for having me on the programme.
I know you've got extensive contacts in Sudan, and that you're also, unusually maybe for a correspondent, you're actually involved in trying to assist people to get out of Sudan. So what's your take on it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, basically, citizens have been left fending for themselves, as a lot of countries have prioritized evacuating their diplomats and their embassy staffers, leaving people behind. So I'm a UK citizen, and there are thought to be at least 2,000 British nationals in Sudan who've registered for help, and they haven't been airlifted until today. There was a small amount that have left. And that's meant that people are basically taken to Twitter, to WhatsApp, to social media, desperately asking for help. And as a journalist who knows people on the ground, it's just meant that we've ended up getting involved in this nightmare, as people are desperately trying to crowdsource information about safe streets, about possible internationally backed evacuation routes, basically any information whatsoever to be able to escape this nightmare.
So how do you, Bel, go about trying to help people in Sudan get out of there?
Well, unfortunately, I have tried to be of help, but it's been very, very hard. At first, we were trying to be in touch with officials from organizations like the International Committee of the Red Cross, also UN organizations, and then local committees of Sudanese volunteers who are trying to help Sudanese citizens and foreign nationals get out. So they were crowdsourcing information about evacuation points and trying to rally vehicles together. But that became too dangerous because they were being basically looted or stopped by armed gunmen. People were being dragged out and disappeared. So it's just been a process of trying to work out, you know, which streets are safe, are there any vehicles, and is it possible at all to allow people to move?
My God, it is an extremely dangerous enterprise. We've spoken on this programme with a mother whose daughter and husband and two children managed to escape out of Sudan, but not before soldiers put the husband up against the wall and were pointing their guns at him before the mother screamed to let him go. She said they posed no threat, all of that in front of the children. So it's extremely dangerous and traumatising for people trying to get out. Did you find the UN or the Red Cross of any help?
They unfortunately said it was too dangerous for them to be able to man evacuations, and so civilians have been left up to their own devices. So today I was talking to multiple British nationals who basically had to work out their own way to get out, because their homes were being looted by armed men who were taking their last meagre water and food supplies. There's also reports of sexual assault. There's been a particularly worrying trend of RSF, that's the Rapid Support Forces. This is the sort of rival paramilitary groups that's involved in this fighting, actually trying to abduct doctors to treat their wounded soldiers. So anyone who's a medic is under particular threat of being stopped. But basically, civilians have been essentially hiring their own vehicles. I spoke to one British mother who's an NHS doctor in Birmingham. She had to basically get $20,000 to hire a truck and take out her children and other people's children to the border with Egypt, driving on her own. I spoke to another civilian who's trying to talk to her British grandfather, who's actually living opposite the British embassy. He's got no water or food left after his home was looted by militiamen. They can't get him out because every time they try and approach the street, they're being fired at. It's an absolute chaotic nightmare. Civilians are basically left to their own devices.
My God. And did that British medic who paid 20,000, is it pounds or dollars or what, for a bus, did they get out?
I actually spoke to her as she's by the Egyptian border right now. It was 20,000, just under $20,000 for a coach. She said she had 11 children with her. She's a mother of three. Her youngest is just 2 years old. They had run out of food by the end of their time, and that's why they decided to take this drastic route. As they tried to get out, they were actually trying to pick up some money and their passports, but they came under fire, so they had to leave without their documents. So she's sitting at the border with Egypt, where apparently there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people, foreigners, Sudanese, desperate to get out. Some of them have, you know, don't have documents or money because they had to leave in such, you know, under such difficult circumstances. So at the moment, she's in a comparatively safe place, but she's not, you know, at safety yet. I was talking to her husband, who's in Birmingham, who said that they've been on the phone to the British authorities, or been trying to be on the phone to the British authorities since this started, but the hotlines aren't even working. Mm-hmm. So it's just an absolute nightmare.
My God, it is lawless, dangerous, chaos, and very, very tense and frightening for people trying to get to evade or evade the violence and so on. It seems to be spiraling even more out of control. Can I ask you just a little bit about the evacuation effort? Is it your sense that the EU efforts are better or worse or what than what you've told us about British efforts to evacuate citizens?
Well, from what I can gather from people on the ground, the numbers that are coming out, the EU has done better than the Brits in terms of getting people out. So, for example, I believe that Italy managed to get some 200 people out on Sunday evening and flew them to Djibouti. We've also got reports that the French have been able to evacuate people, and the Germans, you mentioned their Irish citizens being evacuated. The UK is only today managed to get its first evacuation of its citizens. Now, you know, there are 2,000 British nationals who've registered for help in Sudan out of a suspected 4,000 nationals that are in the country. And it's only today that they've managed to get, I think, about 100 people out of the country. So it looks like the UK has not been doing as well as the EU, but, you know, there are still lots and lots of people left behind. And it's becoming increasingly dangerous and increasingly complicated to get people out.
Okay. Can I ask you very finally and briefly, if you can, because I know you interviewed, is it General Hemeti, who's fighting at Al Burhan since April the 15th? You might tell me what he's like and how you expect this to develop in the coming days and weeks.
Yes, in 2019, I had a rare interview with Hemeti, who's head of the Rapid Support Forces and one of the two generals that are fighting for control of Sudan. When I met him, he was trying to rebrand himself as an ally to the West who could help stop migration to Europe of people who are basically moving across North Africa. But we shouldn't forget his history. He's head of the RSF that's been accused by rights groups of genocidal violence in areas like Darfur in Sudan. In 2019, I was interviewing people who accused the RSF soldiers of assaulting protesters during clashes there in Khartoum, and also of sexual violence. And that's certainly what's been reflected in some of the reports from the ground right now. Unfortunately, I don't think this is going anywhere well. Even if there's a ceasefire, even if we can get foreign nationals out, there are still millions and millions of Sudanese civilians who are trapped in the fighting. There doesn't seem to be any hope of a long-term peace agreement. And at the moment, it just looks like absolute chaos.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for giving us your time this evening. Belle True, foreign correspondent with the Independent. You can text us to 51551.